Thank you so much, Avril. Do sit down. So today, we're thinking about hearts. What do we associate hearts with? Valentine's Day, loving other people. I found a few little sort of cartoon kind of poster things I thought I'd share with you with sort of sayings about the heart. Smile, it is the key that fits the lock of everybody's heart. A human heart knows no limit. A human mind is limited. This one from Hercules. A true hero isn't measured by the size of his strength, but by the strength of his heart. Charles Dickens said, to the young heart, everything is fun. I think this one from America. I've got a good heart, but this mouth. And then this one, I love you with all of my belly. I would say heart, but my belly is bigger. And this one, always follow your heart, but remember to bring your brain along. I think that's something I need to say to myself sometimes. So what is our heart? It's the vital organ that pumps our blood around our body. It's the center of making our bodies work. We sometimes talk about getting to the heart of the matter, don't we? So how does the Bible look at the heart? Well, the Bible writers think of it as summing up who you are and what you are in the secrecy of your thoughts when only God knows. And one key thing to remember is that what you are on the inside is what really matters to God. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says this, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So from the heart are all the issues of our lives. The heart is utterly crucial to Jesus. It's what we are in our deep insides that he cares about the most. He didn't come into this world simply because we've got a few bad habits that need to be broken. He came into this world because we have such dirty hearts that need to be purified. Now, for many years, I have had this sort of image in my mind of like a red heart, like this one you can see on the screen. And I imagine that for myself, and then I imagine sort of black spots on it. And then when I say the confession, I imagine all those black spots disappearing and it going back to being a shiny red heart again. And today we're considering this beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And we'll think firstly about how we can help ourselves to have a pure heart, and then what it means to see God. So let's start by thinking about Psalm 51 that Liz read to us. I find it a really helpful psalm. It was written by David, as she said, after he'd committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he'd had her husband killed. So he had committed the very worst of crimes, but he came to God on his knees in repentance. And he asked God to blot out his transgressions, to wash away his iniquity and cleanse him from his sin. For he knew his transgressions, and he said his sin was always there before him. What you see in him is that he's totally honest, both about his sins and how they're blocking his relationship with God. But he's also totally faithful and believing that God will forgive him. He says in verse 7, cleanse me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And then he goes further and asks God not just to forgive him, but to purify his heart. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, he says in verse 10. So what does it mean to have a pure heart? I was reading something by somebody called Chelsea Crockett, and she said, being pure in heart means that your heart is clean of sin. It has been purified by Jesus dying on the cross. Your sins have been forgiven, your slate is washed clean. It also means that your thoughts are pure. They're not prideful, discontent, impatient, angry, or envious. You strive to do things that please God, and your behaviors reflect how God would want you to act. Your intentions are pure. They're not kind of selfish or hateful or greedy. And as Christians, once we accept Jesus into our lives, once we confess our sins and ask his forgiveness, then he will make our hearts pure, just like he did David's, even though he committed terrible crimes. God knows that as humans, we always struggle. We struggle with sin. That's just part of being a human. We're always going to get things wrong. It's easy to just fall into things that are small, like being impatient or greedy or angry or selfish. And it's hard to keep our thoughts and actions pure. But that's why Jesus had to die for us. And just as it says in this psalm, God cleanses us and makes us whiter than snow. And he loves all of us, you and me. No matter what mistakes we make, no matter what impurities we have in our heart, it's the act of repenting and acknowledging where we fail that is key. And I put this quote here from John Piper. He says, God is the one who purifies the heart, and the instrument with which he cleans it is faith. Psalm 51 verse 17 says, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. He just wants us to come to him in honesty and in humility and in faith. God is the one who purifies the heart, and the instrument with which he cleans it is faith. And then if we look to our gospel reading, what did Jesus say about purity of heart? But he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, not with part of your heart, not with a divided or a double heart. That would be impurity. Purity of heart is no deception, no double-mindedness, no divided allegiance. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. How often do we keep part of our heart back? How often do we let other things get more important than God? Or get in the way of that love. Now you might say, well, I have children who I love, or my parents, or my spouse, and I love them with all my heart. How can I love God in that way too? And I think a good analogy for that is that when you first have your first child, you absolutely pour everything into them. You love them so much. You can't imagine ever loving another being as much as that. And then, if you're fortunate enough, you have another child, and you love them just as much. And what it is if we don't have a finite amount of love, it's that our love for that person is total. No matter how they behave or what they do, we still love them. And I think that's how it is with God. We don't always understand everything, but we do know that he loves us completely, no matter what we do, and we want to love him in the same way. Then the second half, what does it mean to see God? Well, it's clear from other places in the Bible that it doesn't mean we're physically going to see God face to face. The Lord told Moses, man shall not see me and live. And then in John 1:18, he says, no one has ever seen God. Instead, seeing is a sense of better understanding God, who he is, and experiencing his presence. If we think about all of the Beatitudes, we've talked about this before, it's about growing closer to him. So we have that sense of seeing and understanding who he is better. And when we're pure in heart, we'll be closer to God than when we lead impure lives. So a few things that seeing God means. Experiencing his joy. We'll certainly experience a greater joy in our lives when we have confessed our sins, when we've drawn near to God, and when we seek to live our life his way rather than our way. And we'll see God in the sense that we can more clearly understand his plans for our lives and walk in the way that pleases him and helps others. I think we were talking to Kirsten about her job and how she'd really prayed and sought God as to what job she should take, and other doors just shut. So she had a real sense of seeing what God's plan was for her life and then walking in it. And then there's that sense of his presence with us. Sometimes we have a kind of inner peace, which I think we can often only attribute to knowing that God is walking with us through really difficult times, particularly perhaps at the moment. And then being awestruck by God's glory, seeing his holiness, perhaps in creation or all around us. So I've just mentioned being away on holiday. I sometimes find that when I'm in creation and outside, I just automatically want to praise God. I feel a bit closer to him. I just want to thank him for the beauty that I can see. I was thinking about Revelation, you know, and there's a picture in Revelation of all the angels and the creatures bowing down before the throne and worshiping God, because they're seeing him face to face. And I think there's that sense for us that when you actually have that strong sense of God's closeness to you, you can't help but want to worship him. And then lastly, being comforted by his grace, his complete love for us that freely forgives all our wrongdoings, so we can be assured that God won't hide his face from us. He will always walk with us. So being pure in heart means confessing our sins, putting ourselves in a right place with God, knowing that he is quick to forgive our sins. And maybe you might find it helpful, as I do, to imagine your heart with those black spots on it, and then bring to God the things you want to say sorry for, and then just be able to then accept his forgiveness and imagine that shiny red heart clean of all those things that you've brought to him. When we're in that place, we will see God, i.e. we will experience that special closeness to him. Let's pray now. Father God, we thank you for the amazing gift of your Son, who came to live on earth and then to die for us, so that through faith in him, all our sins could be forgiven. Our hearts could be made pure, and we could have that relationship with you for all time. Just in a moment of quiet, just sit before God and ask him if there's anything that he's highlighting to you that you would like to bring to him today. Something from recent or something from a very long time ago that you know is like a little black spot that needs to be wiped clean. Just bring that to God now. You just might like to pray in the quiet of your heart. God, I bring this to you. I confess this is something that I know is holding back my relationship from you. I want to confess this to you today and to ask for your forgiveness. And now in the quiet, accept his forgiveness and his love. And just imagine that heart completely red and pure again. Thank you, God, that we know that you are always quick to forgive. And we pray that you will walk with each of us this week, helping us to be aware of the things that are on our heart and to be quick to bring them to you so that we can keep our hearts pure. And I also pray, Lord, that we would each of us have a sense of seeing you more this week, sensing your presence with us, having that sense of being closer to you. Amen.